Escuelas Oficiales de Idiomas de la Comunidad Autónoma de Canarias. Pruebas de certificación de nivel intermedio de inglés. Convocatoria para población escolar 2017. Prueba de comprensión auditiva. Esta parte consta de dos tareas. Escuchará cada grabación dos veces. Escuche y lea las instrucciones al principio de cada tarea y realícelas según se indica. Las respuestas escritas a lápiz o en tinta roja no se calificarán. No está permitido el uso del diccionario. El uso del teléfono móvil queda prohibido durante toda la prueba y tendrá que permanecer apagado y guardado. No escriba en los recuadros sombreados. Son espacios reservados para la calificación de las tareas.
Task 1. Listen to Todd describing one of his favorite places and decide which five statements are true according to what you hear. Statement 0 is an example. Now you have 1 minute to read task 1.
Hi, this is Todd, and today I'm going to talk about one of my favorite places. It's a park, and it's called Park for the 21st Century, and it's right by my house. Now, one thing I love about this park is it's ideal for running. It has a dirt track that goes around the park, and because the track is dirt, it's really soft on your knees, so you can jog for a long time, and your legs don't get tired or they don't feel any pain. So I really enjoy the dirt path. Another nice thing about the park is that it has wide open grassy areas that are great for sports. So in the middle it has these really wide grassy fields and you can play soccer or baseball or maybe badminton. You often see children running around on the weekends and that's really nice. I don't like it when parks ban sports. They don't allow people to play sports in the middle. I never think that's a good idea. The park also is actually really educational. It has a garden in the middle, and when I say garden, I don't mean the type of garden that has flowers. It has a garden that actually grows food, so they grow onions and lettuce and tomatoes and things like that, and they get local school kids to come in and tend to the gardens, and they use it for educational projects. And then they also have senior citizens that live in the area that come and help the kids grow the produce. Another educational tool they have is there's a lake in the middle, and I think they use the lake for many things, but one of the things that they use it for is to generate fog. The lake has some type of machine that when they turn it on, it actually creates fog, and it looks like a big cloud just sits over the entire lake, so that's always pretty cool. They don't turn it on too often, but when they do, it's pretty impressive to see. The best thing about the park, though, is that it has these old thatched houses that are recreations of how people lived hundreds of years ago. So in this forested area up on a hill by the park, they have these old homes or just, you know, ancient dwellings that people used to live in hundreds of years ago. And if you go up there, there's a guide, and the guide will tell you about the history of the native people that lived in the area hundreds of years ago and how they lived and what they ate and so forth. Lastly, one thing that you can do at the park is you can go and you can have a picnic. They have picnic benches all around the park, and you can bring your family or friends and bring some food. As far as I know, you can't cook in the park. I've never seen a barbecue pit, but I do see lots of people there on the weekends having food with their family, so that's kind of nice. And lastly, if you just want to come and relax, one beautiful thing that they have at the park is they have a actual flower garden with flowers, many types of flowers of all types of colors, and they put seated benches that you can sit on and maybe read a book in the middle of the flowers, and that's always a really nice way to relax. And that's it. That's my favorite place. It's called Park for the 21st Century. What about you and where you live? Do you have a park, and where do you like to go?
Listen again.
Hi, this is Todd, and today I'm going to talk about one of my favorite places. It's a park, and it's called Park for the 21st Century, and it's right by my house. Now, one thing I love about this park is it's ideal for running. It has a dirt track that goes around the park, and because the track is dirt, it's really soft on your knees, so you can jog for a long time, and your legs don't get tired, or they don't feel any pain. So I really enjoy the dirt path. Another nice thing about the park is that it has wide open grassy areas that are great for sports. So in the middle it has these really wide grassy fields and you can play soccer or baseball or maybe badminton. You often see children running around on the weekends and that's really nice. I don't like it when parks ban sports. They don't allow people to play sports in the middle. I never think that's a good idea. The park also is actually really educational. It has a garden in the middle, and when I say garden, I don't mean the type of garden that has flowers. It has a garden that actually grows food, so they grow onions and lettuce and tomatoes and things like that, and they get local school kids to come in and tend to the gardens, and they use it for educational projects. And then they also have senior citizens that live in the area that come and help the kids grow the produce. Another educational tool they have is there's a lake in the middle, and I think they use the lake for many things, but one of the things that they use it for is to generate fog. The lake has some type of machine that when they turn it on, it actually creates fog, and it looks like a big cloud just sits over the entire lake, so that's always pretty cool. They don't turn it on too often, but when they do, it's pretty impressive to see. The best thing about the park, though, is that it has these old thatched houses that are recreations of how people lived hundreds of years ago. So in this forested area up on a hill by the park, they have these old homes or just, you know, ancient dwellings that people used to live in hundreds of years ago. And if you go up there, there's a guide, and the guide will tell you about the history of the native people that lived in the area hundreds of years ago and how they lived and what they ate and so forth. Lastly, one thing that you can do at the park is you can go and you can have a picnic. They have picnic benches all around the park, and you can bring your family or friends and bring some food. As far as I know, you can't cook in the park. I've never seen a barbecue pit, but I do see lots of people there on the weekends having food with their family, so that's kind of nice. And lastly, if you just want to come and relax, one beautiful thing that they have at the park is they have a actual flower garden with flowers, many types of flowers of all types of colors, and they put seated benches that you can sit on and maybe read a book in the middle of the flowers, and that's always a really nice way to relax. And that's it. That's my favorite place. It's called Park for the 21st Century. What about you and where you live? Do you have a park, and where do you like to go?
This is the end of task one. Now turn to task two. Task two. Listen to this interview. The presenter is interviewing a man who is going to ask a woman to marry him. Read the questions and choose the right answer, A, B, or C. Only one of them is correct in each question. Number 0 is an example. Now you have 1 minute to read task 2.
Do you know where you're going to do this? Do you know where you're going to ask the question?
Yeah. Yeah, I know where and when.
Where is it going to be? What can you say about that?
At her home. Next week.
So, man, so you're going in a week. Oh, my God. So are you freaking out?
I'm a little excited.
This man is 76. I'm not going to say his name here on the radio because he's hoping that the woman that he wants to marry is not going to get tipped off by some radio or podcast listener that he's about to ask her. And he doesn't know what she's going to say. He doesn't know, which is not usually how that goes down, right? Usually you ask somebody to marry you, kind of know. He's totally shooting in the dark, anxious about what she's going to say. And this is somebody who he's had feelings about for a long time.
I met this girl at a time when I was 17. She was 16. She was very popular. She was one of what you might say the queens in high school, right?
But nice, he says. Really nice.
And I didn't have all the confidence and courage that I needed at that time. And I just felt like, you know, I don't measure up. I mean, she can pick any superstar or whatever. I was a fairly good athlete, but I wasn't a superstar and whatever and stuff like that.
I see. You didn't do everything you could.
No, I didn't try. I just played like, well, hey, you know, we're friends. And then when it was time to go to Navy, I just left. Took the coward's way out.
But that experience changed him, he says. When he met his wife, he totally went for it. Didn't want to make the same mistake again. He and his wife were together for nearly 47 years, had children who are now grown. And when his wife died 8 years ago, after some time passed, he checked in with this woman from high school. Well, her husband had died. And so this man started flying to the other side of the country to visit her, where she lives now. He stays in the guest room at her house.
So the visits there, I would visit her for a week or so, and we hung out every day, and we just did natural things. And we just went places and what have you, but there was really no intimacy involved, realistically. We were just hanging out, and I believe she was having a good time. I was having a good time, you know?
But you guys didn't kiss.
Well, maybe only once or twice over those years and what have you, and every time we met, it was a friendly kiss on the side of the face, but it wasn't anything like a passionate, real kiss.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened only once along the way, once or twice along the way.
Now, you must have been testing the waters and saying things to figure out where she felt and what her feelings were, right?
I was trying very hard to find that out along the way, Ira. And I was getting some mixed signals. I had a sense on the one hand when it was
okay, those mixed signals. She'd hold his hand all the time. She never hesitated when he would call her and ask to schedule another week-long visit. But at the same time, she seemed very encouraging about him going out with other people, like weirdly encouraging. And she did not seem interested in discussing her feelings towards him.
It seemed like any time a question or anything came up that kind of related towards that or went in that direction, she tended to slide away from it a little bit.
That does not sound good to me.
That didn't sound good to me either. My feeling was that she doesn't want you to ask this question. She doesn't want to have to give you that answer.
Did you tell her you love her?
Yes, I did.
Has she ever said, I love you back?
No. No.
Well, is it possible she just wants to be friends?
Very good possibility.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I know what you're thinking. This does not sound promising at all. And, oh my God, what love-struck creatures we all are wandering around this earth, right? Here is a 76-year-old man, a father, a grandfather, with the same logic-defying feelings dominating him that a teenager has. He told me that back in July, after years of wondering with this woman, okay, are we always just going to be...
Listen again.
Do you know where you're going to do this? Do you know where you're going to ask the question?
Yeah. Yeah, I know where and when.
Where is it going to be? What can you say about that?
At her home. Next week.
So, man, so you're going in a week. Oh, my God. So are you freaking out?
I'm a little excited.
This man is 76. I'm not going to say his name here on the radio because he's hoping that the woman that he wants to marry is not going to get tipped off by some radio or podcast listener that he's about to ask her. And he doesn't know what she's going to say. He doesn't know, which is not usually how that goes down, right? Usually you ask somebody to marry you, kind of know. He's totally shooting in the dark, anxious about what she's going to say. And this is somebody who he's had feelings about for a long time.
I met this girl at a time when I was 17. She was 16. She was very popular. She was one of what you might say the queens in high school, right?
But nice, he says. Really nice.
And I didn't have all the confidence and courage that I needed at that time. And I just felt like, you know, I don't measure up. I mean, she can pick any superstar or whatever. I was a fairly good athlete, but I wasn't a superstar and whatever and stuff like that.
I see. You didn't do everything you could.
No, I didn't try. I just played like, well, hey, you know, we're friends. And then when it was time to go to Navy, I just left. Took the coward's way out.
But that experience changed him, he says. When he met his wife, he totally went for it. Didn't want to make the same mistake again. He and his wife were together for nearly 47 years, had children who are now grown. And when his wife died 8 years ago, after some time passed, he checked in with this woman from high school. Well, her husband had died. And so this man started flying to the other side of the country to visit her, where she lives now. He stays in the guest room at her house.
So the visits there, I would visit her for a week or so, and we hung out every day, and we just did natural things. And we just went places and what have you. But there was really no intimacy involved, realistically. We were just hanging out, and I believe she was having a good time. I was having a good time, you know.
But you guys didn't kiss.
Well, maybe only once or twice over those years and what have you. And every time we met, it was a friendly kiss on the side of the face, but it wasn't anything like a passionate, real kiss.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened only once along the way, once or twice along the way.
Now, you must have been testing the waters and saying things to figure out where she felt and what her feelings were, right?
I was trying very hard to find that out along the way, Ira. And I was getting some mixed signals. I had a sense on the one hand when it was
okay, those mixed signals. She'd hold his hand all the time. She never hesitated when he would call her and ask to schedule another week-long visit. But at the same time, she seemed very encouraging about him going out with other people, like weirdly encouraging. And she did not seem interested in discussing her feelings towards him.
It seemed like any time a question or anything came up that kind of related towards that or went in that direction, she tended to slide away from it a little bit.
That does not sound good to me.
That didn't sound good to me either. My feeling was that she doesn't want you to ask this question. She doesn't want to have to give you that answer.
Did you tell her you love her?
Yes, I did.
Has she ever said, I love you back?
No. No.
Was it possible she just wants to be friends?
Very good possibility.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I know what you're thinking. This does not sound promising at all. And, oh my God, what love-struck creatures we all are wandering around this earth, right? Here is a 76-year-old man, a father, a grandfather, with the same logic-defying feelings dominating him that a teenager has. He told me that back in July, after years of wondering with this woman, okay, are we always just going to be...
This is the end of task 2 and the end of the listening comprehension test.